Good morning. Today is Friday, August 21st, 2026. It's a good day. So glad to be back with you again for the wake-up call one more time. Let me just say up front what a privilege it has been to walk with you. And I hope it's been an encouragement to you. You have been an encouragement to me. And the wake-up call continues to be that in my life. So I'm so grateful for this community as a whole and the way that it has shaped me in my walk with Jesus. So excited to have one more time together today as we're walking through the Gospel of Matthew. And today we're going to be in Matthew chapter 28 and looking at the Great Commission, Jesus sending his disciples out. So let's begin our meeting with Jesus today, as we always do, with our prayer of consecration, where we gather ourselves, where we root ourselves. We open ourselves up to what the Holy Spirit has to say to us through the word that the Holy Spirit has inspired, the living word of God that shapes us, that transforms us, and then empowers us to live in response to God's voice. So that's what we want to do today. So we're consecrating ourselves and preparing for this meeting. Here we go. Wake up, sleeper, rise from the dead. And Christ will shine on you. Jesus, I belong to you. I lift up my heart to you. I set my mind on you. I fix my eyes on you. I offer my body to you as a living sacrifice. Jesus, we belong to you. We're praying this in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today's scripture passage comes from Matthew chapter 28, verses 16 through 20. Hear now the word of the Lord. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." Consider this. Imagine you are standing in front of a large window. Through the panes of glass, you look out on a breathtaking landscape. There's a small path to a gate leading into a garden. Beyond the garden is a wide, green, sloping meadow, which leads to the foot of forest-covered hills, under a sky of blue and orange and pink. As you're lost in the beauty of this scene, you catch a glimpse of something familiar, though out of focus. Your eyes focus in to see your own reflection is there in the glass, staring back at you. Now you are so locked in on your reflection that the landscape fades out of focus and your concentration is on yourself. Have you ever had that happen to you? Scripture is like that window. As you take in the landscape of it, you will catch glimpses of yourself in the scene. This is natural and good and intended. The Bible speaks to the whole of the human experience, including yours. It tells of God's engagement with humanity, including you. You are there in the story. But it would be a tragic mistake to focus only on your own reflection, to see scripture through the image of yourself, to imagine that the story is about you and stops at the borders of your experience. Instead, we look beyond ourselves to the landscape that stretches out before us. We marvel at the beauty. We wonder at the way the diverse layers of landscape somehow fit together, even seem held together. We grow curious about where that path leads, what is around that turn, what is beyond the meadow. We feel a stirring to be on the other side of the glass, exploring the mountain trails and more. We sense the unmistakable invitation to not only see the story, but to join it. That is the invitation that we find in the Great Commission of Jesus. It's a key part of being a disciple of Jesus and is the natural fruit of a growing relationship with him. It is the culmination of this arc of discipleship that we have been exploring together. Having been transformed by the saving love of Jesus through the cross and the resurrection, we are now commissioned to share that good news with others. We cannot keep this life-changing grace to ourselves. We must give it away. The word gospel was not invented by the New Testament writers or the early church. Instead, they borrowed the already existing term from the vocabulary of their culture and infused it with new meaning. The word means good news. In the Greek of the New Testament writers, it's rendered euangelion. It is often used to describe in that day an official decree or announcement from Caesar and the Roman Empire. For example, after Rome conquered and took control of a new region, those new subjects would receive the gospel or good news announcement that Caesar was now their ruler, and his peace, often delivered at the end of a sword, would now reign over them. So, you can see how subversive and revolutionary it was for the early followers of Jesus to refer to his message as the gospel or the euangelion. The Creed of Rome proudly declared Caesar is Lord, while the upstart movement of Christ followers defiantly answered Jesus is Lord. The true gospel stood in direct contrast and critique to the counterfeit gospel of Rome. The good news of Jesus pointed to a kingdom and a king of holy love, promised a deeper hope, and mapped out a better, narrow way. Admittedly, when we talk about sharing the gospel, that can feel like a daunting and intimidating task. But Jesus promises that we will not be alone in this work. His last words to his disciples in Matthew's gospel are, "And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age." And scripture promises that God will empower this sending out mission through the Holy Spirit himself, filling and equipping us with his power and his gifts. We're not asking him to join us in our work, but we are joining him in his work that has already begun. He will be our strength, our wisdom, our courage, our helper, our comfort. And of course, he will be the source of the fruit of the Spirit, growing on our branches, pointing people to the compelling beauty of Jesus. In the Great Commission, Jesus calls those first disciples to make more disciples, who would make more disciples, and on and on and on. And this ripple effect of transformation has continued across the centuries, from one disciple to the next, multiplied again and again, finding its way to us. This reminds me of J.R.R. Tolkien's epic, The Lord of the Rings. Samwise Gamgee is the gardener and friend to the famed protagonist Frodo Baggins. But in many estimations, Sam, the little hobbit, becomes actually the unlikely hero of the entire tale. At a moment of desperation in their impossible quest, Samwise draws courage from the stories he loved as a child. In Peter Jackson's movie adaptation, he calls them the great stories, Mr. Frodo, the ones that really mattered, the stories that stayed with you, that meant something, even if you were too small to understand why. In the original book version, Sam comes to the surprising realization that the tale they find themselves in is actually a continuation of all of those adventures that came before. He says, "Why, to think of it, we're in the same tale still. It's going on. Don't the great tales never end?" The story of Jesus is the story that really matters most. It is the sweeping narrative of God's loyal love for his creation and his quest for redemption. But it is not only a record of what was, it is a vision of what is and will be. Jesus invites us to step into the story and live it out with him. The story rolls on, and we find ourselves in the same tale still. Here is our prayer for today. Jesus, as you send us out to share the gospel, the good news, and make disciples, empower us with your presence always. Amen. A couple of journal prompts for today and to wrap up our time together. Have you responded to the Great Commission of Jesus? If so, how? If not, why? And what stands out to you most about the scripture and the reflections from this past week? What next step is the Holy Spirit challenging you to take in response? As we're wrapping up, I do want to say once again, a huge thank you. Thank you to J.D. Walt and the entire Wake Up Call team and the Seedbed team and family as a whole for this opportunity to be with you and to put my hand to the plow with you and to sow some seeds into this community that I love so much and that means so much to me. I would love to see you at a gathering of this community that's coming up next month. It's called the New Room Conference. And if you've listened to the Wake Up Call for any period of time, then you know all about this. And we're inviting you to come and to be a part of that. The New Room Conference is next month. It's September 30th into October the 2nd, September 30th to October 2nd. It's in Montgomery, Alabama at Fraser Church there. And New Room is always such a special time. It's a refreshing time. It's a time where we get to connect with people who are of like heart, like mind, like souls. But also it's a time where we meet with Jesus, where we're stirred by the Holy Spirit, and we're challenged to continue to be a part of this great commission of sowing for a great awakening. So I'd love for you to come and to be a part of that with us. Please come and say hello if you're there. And also, Seedbed and the Wake Up Call community are offering a discount today. And there's a link there in the email that goes out with this. And so we encourage you to take advantage of that. If you haven't registered yet, here is an added opportunity to do that. If you have registered, here's a chance for you to help somebody else get there and come and be a part of it with us. So again, that link is in the email for a discount to New Room Conference. I really, really hope I get to see you there. All right. One last hymn that we're going to close out with today. This hymn is called Jesus, the Son of God. It's also known by its first line, "Do you know Jesus?" It was written by G.T. Haywood in 1915. It's actually not in our Seedbed hymnal. All the others have been this week, and we normally do that. We're including this one today for a special reason. My dad and mom all are back to lead us today. They started us off on Monday, and now they're closing us out here. I know you're excited to hear that. And we chose this song because it's one that my dad remembers his parents singing in revival services when he was a child. And of course, the song embodies the call of the Great Commission, "Do You Know Jesus?" It embodies a love for Jesus that is so real and beautiful that you can't help but share it with others. And I'm proud to say that you can trust me that today's singers absolutely embody that as well. So one last time, again, great to be with you. And for The Awakening, I'm Matt LaRoy, and I hope to see you at New Room Conference, and I'll see you on the field.
How I love thee, Jesus.